Sometimes, Always, Never. It's a British film about a family coping with grief many years after the disappearance of a child. It begins with a trip to the morgue. A body has been found that needs to be identified. But this macabre mission is offset with some unconventional aesthetic choices from first-time feature director Carl Hunter, who's working off a script by 24-hour Party People and a cock and bull story, Frank Cottrell Boyce. Now, the tilt that these choices give the film towards the absurd, haunting, and occasionally comic is absolutely wonderful. And I'm talking about directorial choices like using splashes of evocative stage lighting or embracing the fake appearance of rear projection in the driving scenes so that the English countryside is turned into a slightly radioactive shade of green swooshing by in the back of shot. In a way, this stylistic eccentricity is reflected in the film's lead character, Alan, played by Bill Nye, a dapper Liverpool tailor, passionate Scrabble player, and grieving father. Now, Alan tends to talk across the surface of things, bantering with people he's just met, obsessing over life's small details. But he's a traumatised man who can't forgive himself for his young son's disappearance many decades ago. And although this grief is well hidden, it does come between him and his only surviving son, Peter, played by Sam Riley. Peter has repressed anger issues towards the old man, expressed in a habit of muttering audibly but unintelligibly under his breath. Here's the two of them outside the morgue in that early scene.
All right.
Yeah, I'm fine. We've got to come back in the morning.
It's not even 10-2 yet.
The official who does it is on a job share type of thing, austerity. They finished early. Child minding. We'll have to make a night of it.
No. We'll go on. We'll come back in the morning.
It's already getting dark. A road's in the dark. Oncoming, full beam. Nightmarish. We'll get some sleep.
We'd have to find somewhere to stay.
But that's okay. I've already booked somewhere. I never thought this was a realistic itinerary. I booked somewhere the day we heard. There we go again. I didn't hear that either. It's almost as if you wanted to say things, but you don't want me to hear them. It's like a kind of passive-aggressive thing.
I said I didn't bring a toothbrush.
Oh. Well, I noticed you didn't have a bag, so I got you one when we stopped for petrol. Which do you want? Cyberman or Dalek?
I'd like a Dalek toothbrush. Peter, that's the younger man, the son, lives in a suburban house with his wife and a son of his own, and events conspire to bring Alan under their roof for a few nights. Now, he shares a bunk bed with his video game addicted grandson and gives the boy a mod makeover at his tailor's shop. That's where the title of the film, Sometimes, Always, Never, comes from. It has to do with buttons. Now, if this sounds like a middle-brow film where Bill Nye sashays about and it ends with, well, a tearjerker finale, I will say that it does defy expectations. Sometimes, Always, Never is actually a tonally ambitious film wearing Middle England comedy drag. There's a touch of Wes Anderson about it in its fetishized suburban aesthetic, but not too much. It's less crammed, more open to emotion. And it's, of course, not lost on the filmmakers that a character who's a Scrabble master like Alan can't find the words when it comes to those he loves. It's a rich paradox. The unspoken sorrow between Alan and Peter becomes a powerful source of pathos as the film edges to a poignant finale. I'm really quite astounded by this low-key comedy about family grief. Sometimes, Always, Never is out this week.